Good morning. Allow me to interrupt your conversation. A couple of weeks ago, I came out and just opened the hymn book and took out a song, and lo and behold, later on, it was one the pastor was already chosen to sing. So I solved that problem. This is not in our hymn book, but it should have been. On your sheet there, it's the one 148, Will Jesus Find Us Watching? And thank you, Susan. Susan and her note is going to help me out here. A good Fanny Crosby hymn. And maybe next week we'll sing the No Dark Valley on the other side of the page there. It's from the old Great Hymns of Faith. My original pastor, Ivor Bodenham, used that hymnal to start a church. And it's a great hymnal with a lot of the old hymns in it. So let's go now to the Word of God and take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 6. I hope I didn't promise that I wouldn't speak anymore on sanctification, because if I did, I'm going to break that promise and preach on sanctification this morning and speak on that. And Romans chapter 6 is probably the greatest chapter in the Bible about sanctification. It's here, and so many things that I will not have time to look at most of it, but we'll look at a few things. I don't know why it is, but the time just seems to go by so quickly once you open the Word of God. And so I hope that we can all take a blessing from that. In that regard, let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, it's a privilege to gather in your name. Thank you for each one who's come today. I pray, O Lord, open our hearts and turn our eyes, and help us, Father, to turn away from worldly things and things that distract the mind, the cares of this life, the foolishness of riches, the lusts of other things. We pray that we would turn to you, O Lord, with all our hearts at this time, and say, O Lord, teach me and lead me. And I pray, Father, that you would enlighten us with the Scriptures and speak to our particular heart needs this morning, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. In Romans 6, there's lots of things to look there. We may look at a few things after a bit, but we looked at sanctification. Sanctification is what the Lord did for us. It's part of our salvation. It's a standing we have with God, like justification, but we're standing in holiness. And then, of course, well, we all sin, and so there are those who believe in, you know, complete sanctification, they call it, or some other foolish term that isn't in the Bible, and where they believe that, you know, you won't sin anymore. You'll get to a place in your Christian life where you won't sin anymore, which is a lie and completely not the truth, and those people have never read 1 John. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We're just making up a lie, and don't expect other people to believe that. And I had a foreman once, and he used to say to me, if I was saying something, he'd say, Joe, tell that to somebody who knows you. In other words, if somebody really knew me, they might not believe that. That's what he was saying. So we've looked at the need to be holy, that we should be holy because the Lord is holy. And we looked at a number of different things. But this morning, I'm going to jump ahead, because I don't know if I will come back to. I'd like to talk to all about through Romans 6. I'd like to talk the whole chapter through, but I don't know if there'll be time to do that this morning. I want to get down to business about how. How do you and me, how do we who have professed to know Christ as our Savior, how do we live a holy life? And that's answered here in the book of Romans. And so Romans 6 and verse 19, he says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. And this verse really gives the how-to of sanctification, how to grow in the Lord, how to grow in holiness and our walk with Him. And he begins to say, he says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, because of the weakness of our human nature. He says, I'm going to speak to you after the manner of men. What he's speaking about is what he talks about servants later on. Your members, you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness. Even so, now yield your members servants to righteousness unto godliness. And so he's going to talk about, really he's using the knowledge that people have of slavery. That's what he means when he says, I'm speaking out of the flesh. This thing is a common thing in the world. Even though it's a hideous thing and a wicked thing, it's a common thing in the world. And so he says, I'm going to speak after the manner of men. And as though he's using an apology for using a horrible thing like slavery to teach a spiritual truth about holiness. But that's what's going on here. Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. So the manner of men is like the common thing that people understand in the world. And the infirmity of your flesh is because they should be able to comprehend what he said up to now, but understand holiness, but there's the weakness of the flesh. And so he's going to teach us something about how to overcome the weakness of our flesh. And even in hearing this. And it's the way of holiness is simply this. It's in this, as he gets into the next line, he says, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and iniquity. As you have. So here's we're going to be able to do something in a similar way than what we did when we were lost, that's going to make for holiness. Now that ought to, I find that's exciting. So we're going to use something we already have. As you have yielded your members, as you presented your bodies, he said, you've presented your members as slaves to uncleanness and to iniquity and iniquity. And that is descriptive of what our lost life has been. Now, if you're saved as a child, as a small child like my wife, you might not comprehend this, but if you were saved at any time later in your life, you know what it's talking about. And we were servants. We were in slavery. We were in bondage. We couldn't get out. And we lived for sin. We thought about sin. Sin was all through our lives. And I'm not talking about one sin, because everybody seems to have a sin that has been predominant in their life. Some people, sins of pride. And just pride is in everything they say. Even in your look, the Bible says, a high look and a proud heart. These are the things that are abomination unto God. Maybe you're the sin that really took over your life as a lost person and may, you know, kind of people recognize that about you is pride. Or there are those who are covetous of other things. There are those that you can't trust because they'll steal money from you, and that's a big thing for them. There are those who are immoral. There are those who are critical of everything and will gladly stab you in the back. There's all kinds of things, and so I'm not going to talk about any one sin. I'm not talking about that. What the scriptures is talking about is whatever you, when you were lost, whatever was a motivating thing in your lost life to do evil and to be servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, just piling it up, you know, just every day, just one sin, follow that to 10 other sins. Just sin. That's the unsaved life. Just sin, sin, sin. And there are those who think, you know, no, I'm a good person. I'm good. Well, that also is a very evil thing to say, because God says you're not good. There's none good. No, not one. And somebody's lying, and it's not God. And so there are those who offer that filthy sacrifice of
of rotten, filthy sin and say, oh, I'm good before God. But also another thing that people seem to add into their lives. And uncleanness before God. Every sin is an uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity. But then he says, even so now, yield. Present your bodies, present your life, your members, because most of sins are done with the body, though not all, because some sins are sins of the spirit. But present yourself and everything you have. Your members doesn't just mean the different parts of your body. You know, if you used your tongue wrong before now, if you used your ears wrong before, what you were listening to, if you used your mind wrong, it's not just talking about that, but even, you know, the attitudes that we have had and all kinds of other things. Yield all those, everything that makes up you, your members, yield them, the Bible says. Let God have them for servants, to be a slave to righteousness unto holiness. Follow righteousness and end up with holiness in your life. And now to understand what is being said here, as you have yielded, how did we give up all to sin? Let me give you 10 ways that I believe that all of us, in one of these ways, has yielded up ourselves, or maybe in all these ways, to the devil, to following the devil, to following what the devil wanted us to do, what the devil wanted us to say. We thought it was just all about us. We thought we were doing what we wanted. We thought we were living for self. And of course, selfishness is a huge sin of this current generation of young people. Just everything has to be, everything is all about being selfish all the time, about self and serving self. But they think that they're serving self, but they're not. They're serving the devil. And those who are worshiping false gods are thinking, oh, they're actually serving a god of some kind, but the Bible says they're actually serving the devil. We recognize that everything out of our unsaved life, even me on the farm and how I love the farm, but I would put the farm ahead of God. And you say, well, how could a farm be wrong? And how could farming be wrong? The Bible says that even the plowing of the wicked is sin. Now, I did some plowing. I didn't think there was anything sinful about it. I thought it was a lot of work. Unplugging the thing all the time. The coulters were too small. And plugged up with corn stalks every time it turned around practically. And I was on and off the tractor a half dozen times or even a dozen times in the length of the field and to unplug the plow. How could the plowing be sin? I mean, I wasn't getting angry. I wasn't using foul language. But everything that an unsaved person does is a sinful thing in the sight of God. And sin is fills it up, and sin is motivating it, and sin is all part of it. So how? As we did that, now we're supposed to yield ourselves in a similar fashion unto God, so that we can have righteousness unto holiness. Well, one of the things we did that we did willingly. We willingly served the sin. We willingly served the devil. We may not know we were serving him, but that's what we're doing. It was our idea. We served him without a fight. And we did sin without really resisting it very much. And so now we need to serve the Lord. Don't fight him now. Don't resist him now. He says, now as you are willing to willingly give yourself to that, well, now willingly give yourself to the Lord Jesus. Willingly give yourself to righteousness and to doing what is right by the word of God and what is pleasing in his sight. The Bible says that we gave ourselves to uncleanness. Uncleanness. Another word for wickedness, another word for all that sin is and how God views it, unclean. We were like the leper that nobody wanted to go near and nobody wanted to touch or even touch anything that he touched. And throw them out of the city and make them live in a little hovel outside of the city limits. And some people had mercy and brought food and left it for them, but they were very careful not to touch them. Nobody wanted the the uncleanness. And if he was to go anywhere, he must constantly, as he would go down the street, he must call out, unclean, 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 so that people could get away from him or her that had leprosy. That's the life that we had. That's that just everything unclean before God and impure, and we were servants to uncleanness. Well, now we're supposed to be servants to holiness, the Bible says. Servants to righteousness unto holiness. And the word holiness there really is the same word that's used as sanctification all through the scriptures and the New Testament. Anyway, so uncleanness was easy. Well, now the Bible talks about, and in this chapter also, but throughout the book of Romans, it talks about the old man, meaning the flesh, the unsaved condition, and the new man, what we are now, the new nature that we have in Christ. And so the old man loved the uncleanness, but the new man should love what is clean, what is righteousness, and what is pleasing in the sight of God. The third thing I see here is we went to iniquity unto iniquity, which means to one sin leads to a whole bunch more. And of course, you know that. I remember growing up, my mother used to say, if you tell a lie, you've got to tell 10 more of them to cover it up. And the problem is, after a while, you don't remember who you lied to and what story you told them. And my mother had a way with lying. It was called stick the bar of soap in there, in your mouth. I used that on my children, too. It worked well, actually. Thank the Lord for that. You want to be dirty and say things that are wrong? Here's the bar of soap. Now it got stuck in your teeth. And it's pretty nasty. And you remember not to do that. Try not to do that wickedness. But the trouble is the heart needs to be made clean and need to be saved. But that's what we did. We did one sin, and one sin led to more and more and more evil. And that's the world. The world is full of sin. It's all we did. It was all was sin. All we thought about was sin. All we wanted in our lives was sin. We just kept following that. All right, that's the past. Can't do anything about the past. But what we can do now is serve God. And so even so now, as much as we were eager to fill our lives with our thoughts and our plans and everything, always had sin associated with it somehow, now serve righteousness. Serve what is right, and what is right in the Bible, what is right before God. Not what you and I decide what is right, what God has said is right, living by the Word of God and by His standard of holiness. Don't give God less now that you're saved than you gave Him when you were lost. When you were lost, you just went after sin. All right, now go after God. That's what He's saying. If you've yielded yourself to sinful things, now serve the Lord and give the Lord at least as much obedience as you gave the devil. At least serve the Lord the way that you serve sin. And one right thing in our life should be the opposite of sin. One sin led to 10 other things, but one decision to do what is right and one decision to stand for God in this evil world will lead to 10 other things that we will then be encouraged to do right in serving the Lord. And it goes that way too. The more holiness we have, the more holiness you'll want. The more you live clean before the Lord, the more you'll want to live clean before the Lord. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, our Lord said, for they shall be filled. We'll be able to have that in our lives. I'm not sure if I gave you all the text. The text is Romans 6:19, and so do righteousness until that's all we do. Do righteousness and do what pleases God until all we think about is how can I please the Lord with my life today, and it's all we want to honor Him, to lift up His name, to glorify Him, to do what pleases Him in our lives, So he says, even so now, yield your members, servants, even so now, in a similar manner,
as we serve sin, now give everything to serving God. Number four, I would say we followed a spirit of wickedness. In all of sin, there is a spiritual element to it. And that spiritual element is the wicked spiritual element of the devil's kingdom. And there's a spiritual element to those who do evil. And there's a spiritual influence to do wrong and to choose what God forbids. And it's ridiculous. I heard a man preach one time a sermon called The Insanity of Sin. Sin doesn't make any sense. We as a child of God, we know how that's going to turn out. It doesn't make any sense. But so we follow the spirit of wickedness. Now follow the Holy Spirit. Now follow the Spirit of the Lord. And he give in to his motivation. Give in to his direction. You know, even when it comes to being saved. But also, it's not just for in regard of being saved, but Hebrews speaks of, wherefore today, if you hear his voice, the voice of the Spirit of God, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts. Don't put the hand up against the Lord and say, no, you know, I'm not going to listen to you today. But instead, offer the Lord the willing heart. The hard heart comes from saying no. And I did a study in the scriptures one time on a hard heart. The danger of saying no to God is that your heart becomes hardened. And your heart, you can harden your heart, but you know something? There's nothing in the Bible about you being able to soften your heart. You can harden it against God, but you can't make it soft again. And it takes a mighty work of the Spirit of the Lord to do that in a person's life. And so follow the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Spirit of God, we're told. And let His influence direct us. And don't have things in our life that insult the Spirit of God, that hurt Him. He's got to live in you. As a child of God, He dwells in our bodies, the Bible says. And in our spirit. And so He lives in us. And we don't want to have things that interfere with Him. And so as we have followed the spirit of wickedness, now follow the Holy Spirit. Listen for His voice. And I was looking for the Lord's direction in something particular in my life this week. And as I was reading the scriptures, I was looking. And I saw a few little things, but I was looking for direction in something in my life in particular. And I believe I found it. But the first place always to look is the Word of God. Are you getting something out of the Word of God? And I know there are places in the Word of God, if you're reading the big list of names, you may not get anything out of that. But it's there for a reason, and so I like to read them. But there are places where you can go in the Scriptures and all through the New Testament. There isn't anywhere in the New Testament that you cannot go as a child of God and grow. But we only grow as we are willing to respond to the Lord. I'm from the farm, as you know, and so I understand a bit about crops. And every now and then we would have a drought. No rain. The corn would just sit there, not grow. And then it would start to rain. And it would be raining, and it would be nice. And some nice sunny days afterwards, the corn would still sit there. And what happens is, during a drought, the plant is kind of in a protective mode. It becomes stunted. And then when the rain comes, it doesn't just immediately grow. We can be like that in our spirits with the Lord. We can be stunted, and it can take a while for us to grow. And we want to, you know, if you find your heart like that, stay in the Bible, stay in prayer, because the Lord will work in your heart, and ask Him to teach you. If you open the Bible, open your heart to God and say, teach me out of the Bible. I mean, who's going to teach you? The Spirit of the Lord, He, the author of the book, would teach you from the Word of God. And so that's a wonderful thing. I want to look at Galatians 5. Just keep your finger there, or or not, but Galatians chapter 5, and look there, you can follow me if you want. Galatians 5 and verse 17. Verse 16 says, "But this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." It's one or the other, it's not both. And so walk in accordance to the Spirit of God, and then you will not walk accordance to the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. The two will never get along. The flesh wants one thing, but the Spirit of God wants the exact opposite of your life. The flesh wants uncleanness, the Spirit of God wants holiness. Who's going to win? Well, you choose who's going to win, so do I. And sometimes we choose for the flesh to win, and of course, we're not proud of that, but that's a fact. Sometimes we choose for the flesh, and then we have to go to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us, and then other times for the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth, it has desireth against the Spirit, and the Spirit desireth also against the flesh, as implied there. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. One's always holding you back. This is the double-minded man. We want to be led of the Spirit of God, directed by Him. And one thing else, James chapter 4. Let's see if we can find James here quickly enough. James chapter 4 and verse 5. He says, "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" The Spirit that dwelleth in us desires so much to be in control of your life that when He's not in control of your life, He's very jealous, because our God is a jealous God. And He desires and He feels envy because He sees us in the control of some spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will always lead us to holiness, because that's what He is. The Bible says the Scripture doesn't say that in vain. In other words, it doesn't say that and it's pointless. It doesn't mean anything. It means something. It's important. The Spirit that dwelleth in us desires so much to lead us in our lives and to help us to walk in the right way. And of course, He has every right to, because according to 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20, you are not your own. You're bought with a price. He has every right. And so He doesn't like it when we take what He has every right to and the purchase of the Lord Jesus Christ and His suffering and His death and all that He endured for us to be saved. He doesn't like it because a great price has been paid for us, and He has the right to control us in our lives. And as we did evil continually, so let us now do right, because anything else is really theft and robbery and illegal. But to carry on with Romans 6:19, he says, "As you yielded your members to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holy." Serve righteousness. We put a lot of thought into sin when we're lost. No question about it. We put a lot of thought about where we're going somewhere, about what might be there that would be sinful that we could delve into, even if it was only just in our minds. We put a lot of thought into sin. Well, all right now, then put a lot of thought in how we're going to live for the Lord Jesus. Put a lot of thought in how am I going to do what is right? How am I going to be a better witness for Him? But one of the things I can do to be a better witness is to pray that the Lord will give me opportunities to witness. Now, opportunities are important, and we put a lot of thought into sin. We let sin dominate our minds. Then now let's please the Lord, and let's have that dominate our minds. Number six, we follow the desires of the flesh. In Romans 6, earlier on, talks about the body of sin. The body of sin was destroyed. The power was taken away from the sinful nature that we have. Still have the sinful nature, but it doesn't rule over you as a child of God. You don't have to serve it, and we shouldn't. But We follow the desire of that. Now follow the desire of the new man. And let the new nature be everything. And let us choose to please and follow the Lord. Number seven, we follow the thrill of sin. The thrill of sin. I suppose every sin has its thrill to it, but I remember reading one time, and an author said about immoral sins, he said, when you're young, he said, and your blood runs like fire. You just want to do evil. And Proverbs 9 and verse 17 says, this is a quote from the harlot. This is what the harlot says. She says, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. There's always something enticing about secret things and that sort of sin. There's Hebrews 11:25 said that Moses chose that he would not enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season and the pleasures of Egypt. There is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. It's a really short season. A few minutes pleasure, as I was reading in Proverbs about the wicked woman, a few minutes pleasure, a life ruined in every direction. Ruin just surrounds you for choosing a life like that. But we should seek now the thrill of doing right. Now, the thrill of doing right isn't like the thrill of sin. The thrill of sin is only for a few moments' time. For a few moments' time, it's so exciting, it's so enjoyable, and then you pay, and 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 you pay. And you pay more than you expected to pay, and you suffer longer than you ever expected, and things go far worse than you ever thought they would. That's sin. The devil's a liar. And he promises so much pleasure in sin, but there's so little. It's for a season. It's the shortest season ever. Now, though, the pleasure in serving God is not the wild pleasure of sin, but it is the constant pleasure that lasts and lasts and lasts and lasts. Pleasure of sin, few seconds, few minutes, not much longer than that. But the pleasure of pleasing God goes on and on, and according to the Bible, it goes right on into eternity. We should be doing now what we will be doing forever and ever. I was reading a preacher the other day, and he was talking about going to heaven. He's talking about how everybody figures they're going to heaven. He said, that's a funny thing. The very thing that you can't stand here to be in a conversation, to hear somebody talk all about the Lord Jesus, or to go to church and hear some preaching. Oh, you can't stand to do that. Oh, you won't go there, but you think you're going to go to heaven where that's what's going to occupy every minute forever and ever. Clearly, you're not suited to go to heaven, but are a lost soul on your way to hell where everybody will speak the same sort of filthy things that you speak. And that's so true. There's a thrill of doing right that lasts for, it just goes on and on and on. The joy of having done right. The joy of being able to lay down in bed and not have any sin to confess. That's a wonderful thing. To not have anything which brings grief into your heart for that day. You know, yeah, the devil always rake up something from your past, but don't let him do that, unless it's something you need to deal with that needs some confession to someone else. But standing up for God, being a witness, every time you witness to someone who is lost, every time there will be a joy put in your heart. Every time that we stood up for the Lord at work or among friends or among unsaved family or whatever it might be, there's a joy that God puts in our hearts from doing what is right. And that joy is an incredible joy. And there's the joy of salvation. There's the satisfaction of pleasing God. No sin can compare to the eternal joy there is of pleasing the Lord. The joy
incidentally, that David lost. David lost that in his sin with Bathsheba, and so he prayed to the Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Put that joy back in, because he lost it. But that the joy of being saved and of walking with the Lord and of rejoicing in the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we're going to think about his shed body and his shed blood. And I used that shed blood that we will think about. It's not there, but the remembrance of it is here. But the shed blood. And as I was going to speak on this morning, I woke up at, well, my phone says that I woke up at something like 4:10. And at 4:10, the devil tried to unload. And going into my mind with all kinds of sinful thoughts, and one after another, chase that one away, and then it'd be another one, and confess that one. I got sick of that really quickly. I said, Lord, I want to preach on holiness in the morning. I need the shed blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse my mind. I don't understand what the devil is doing, but I think he's just trying to get me dirty so I can't speak of holiness properly. And ask the Lord for that shed blood to cleanse me. And that was the end of that. The power of the blood to cleanse your mind is a wonderful thing. But where I once did evil and now I should obey and walk with God and find the blessing and the help that there is in pleasing Him. Number 8, we did sin every day, and we did sin all day long. And at night, we dreamt about sinful things, and we woke up thinking and planning sinful things. The Bible makes it very clear that that's what the wicked do. They plan sin on their bed, and hidden deeds at night. Night is often where the devil wants to work and where many filthy things are done in this world. But all day long, with filthy talk and evil looks and dirty jokes and innuendos and stuff that's said to women with a double meaning and all kinds of stuff like that goes on in the world. People sin, they pour forth their lives into sin. All right, that's what we were when we were lost. Now we need to turn it around now that we're saved, because the way of holiness is the same way, but a completely different direction. Now it's like, let's turn every thought to think about the Lord. The Bible tells us that we need to guard our thoughts, but also that we need to bring every thought into obedience of Christ and follow Him and serve Him. And in all our thoughts, in all our plans, don't leave the Lord out of anything in your life. Don't have a time when you think even, when you don't incorporate the Lord into what you're thinking. There ought to be nothing secular about our lives. Because secular really just means leaving God out. And He ought to be in all of our lives. And every day we should fill up the day as much as possible with pleasing the Lord. We gave the dark masters 24 hours. How could we give God less? And all day we should think of righteousness. What's the right thing to do about this? What's the right thing to say about that? What does God want me to do in this? And we can always say, oh, well, you know, we can't pray all that much. But the Bible says we should pray without ceasing, and we should walk with God in our minds. Number 9, we sinned and did wickedly with disregard for the opposition of God. There was a day when we didn't care very much, or if at all, about whether God was pleased or displeased with us and what we were doing. We went against Him, and we went against His desires, and we broke His word over and over. Okay, that's the past. Now we're saved. Now yield as we yielded to the devil. Yield yourself to God. Now disobey the devil. And one of the things I find, if the devil's giving you a hard time, and if you think the devil is troubling you, go out to disobey the devil with all your heart. Find things that the devil hates, because he sure hates praying. Get on your knees and pray. Start praying for lost souls and people you know with spiritual struggles, and ask God to uphold them. The devil hates that. And read your Bible and find someone to witness to, because there ain't nothing the devil hates more than that. And tell someone about the Lord Jesus and just give it to him. He was a terrible master. He was a wicked master. Our lives were miserable in sin, but now we can have lives that are glorious and pleasing to God and walk with Him and go with joy in our hearts and a smile there all the time. And disregard the old master. You did that to God when we were sinning. Well, do it to the devil now to please the Lord. And bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. If the devil's giving you a hard time, get on your knees and surrender everything to God. Just hold back no part of your life, no secret part, no secret indulgence of evil, nothing. Just give God everything out of your life. And the devil will back off because that's the last thing he wanted you to do. And faithfully serve the Lord. Go to church and support the cause of Christ. And all kinds of other things we could say that I don't have time. But I've got to number 10, which is an achievement for me. Number 10, as you yielded to sin, we were often willing to pay any price to get our own way. We would throw away our time in sin. We'd throw away our money in sin. We'd throw away our reputation in order to get what we wanted. Throw away the respect of others. Throw away decency. Sin is so expensive. We are willing to pay any price to do evil. All right, now then, that's the past. If we belong to Christ, you should be willing to pay any price to serve God. Any price to please Him. And count the cost. You should have counted the cost before we came to Christ. And understand that there's a cross to bear. There's responsibilities in the Christian life. You can't just sit back and do nothing. As a matter of fact, seeing the days that we're in and seeing how little people seem to care to come to the house of God and hear the preaching of the Word of God, so much the more we need to be faithful, and so much more we need to serve the Lord, the Bible says. And give all now to the Father and hold not back anything. Get up when you're tired and serve the Lord and give Him at least what we gave to serve sin. Now serve righteousness and keep going unto holiness. And give your body as servants to righteousness and holiness. And that's the way it has to be. And further on in the chapter, in verse 20, for when you are the servants of sin, you're free from righteousness. That's true. You didn't feel much pull to do right when you were the servant of sin. You were free of that, so now be free of the pull of sin. Get away from that. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? You know, a saved person looks back on their life, they never boast about the sins they did or, you know, what wicked things they did and thought they got away with. Nobody talks about that if you're saved. What fruit had you in the things of which you are now ashamed? Well, how'd that turn out? What kind of fruit, what kind of results were those? For the end of those things is death. Nothing good came out of that. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Fruit unto holiness, and it just goes right on into everlasting life. What do you think we're going to be doing in heaven? Pleasing God. Choosing what is right in His sight. And with no sin nature, that's going to be a wonderful thing. We have your fruit unto holiness. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We always use this verse on unsaved people, but I have you know, in context, it's really written to save people. It'll remind you, remind me, because I know I need to be reminded, and I'm sure you do also, that the only place sin ever goes is to death. The gift of God is to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, so bring on the eternal life now. And follow in what is part of eternal life now. You know, when you die and wake in the presence of God, if you're a child of God, it shouldn't be a surprise. It should be something you're looking forward to. And I remember when I was in the hospital, I wasn't sure if I was going to live or die. To be honest with you, I didn't really care because I'd be glad to go and be with the Lord. but you prayed for me, my dear wife prayed for me, and so I lived.
I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for your prayers. But what are we living for? You know, what are we living for? Let's not mess around with unrighteousness. We should be done with that. I have nothing to be proud of about that. But nothing to rejoice in that. Not that we're proud. We shouldn't be proud of righteousness either. But we should be glad to do right and have the joy and the blessing of God that is in your life for doing what is right and pleasing and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many people or children of God, they just don't enter into that. And we need to go there because that's what sanctification is all about. Lord, thank you for this time. And I pray you bless your people. And thank you for each one. And thank you for the simple teaching of your word. Help us to take this simple thing, turn around what our lives once were, and not give you less than we gave the devil. Help us to please you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.